الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. I think we all know about the incidents that are going on in Switzerland now and all the commotions that are going out about Emirat, and how the Muslim Ummah from the far east to the far west getting excited for a couple days and everything gonna go back to normal. We need to take a time, take a minute, and to see, do those people really harm Islam? Or the people that they call themselves Muslim, doing every single minute more harm to Islam and to the Muslim Ummah beyond the measure. How I can condemn a person does not know anything because I did not do my job to introduce myself to him from getting scared, from not accepting what he doesn't know, especially the negative profile that we have. We all obligated at the people that they said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is to propagate and to defend on Islam. And the best way in the stage we are in it to propagate and to defend on Islam is by going back, every single one of us, including me and starting by me, going back to Islam. When we go back to Islam, we will find out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, He sent the message of Islam. Is it just to send the message of Islam? Or send the message? Or there is a purpose for this message? There are two major purposes for the message of Islam. Number one, to build the character. This character will be able to promote good and fight evil, to glorify Allah's name on the face of the planet Earth. The second, this character plus other character will build Muslim environment, everything in it submit by his choice or her choice to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what the message from Adam to Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, the purpose of it is. So when we go to the message, how this message build this character that we are after? Look at it this way. Your human instinct, the instinct in you, plus the message, or I should say first, the message, plus your nature, your instinct, your fitra, equal conscious, dhamir. The message plus the damir or the conscious equal amalun salih, good deed. Good deed means good conscious. Message plus a good deed equal makarim al akhlaq, a good behavior, good ethics. And that's the change of the message, or the purpose of the message, is to change your fitra to makarim al-akhlaq, to the ethics and the etiquette, to behave according to the ethics and etiquette that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want. When we look at this message, how is the content of it, we will find out that all the prophets and the messengers, the priority number one for them, it was the Tawheed, the monotheism. What they were teaching us as a human being, what they believed in and tried to propagate all the time, is a tawheed, the monotheism. And even, either it is one of the two. Please look at it this way. The monotheism, it acts like the brain. If you have a healthy brain, you have a healthy body. But if you have a very sick, distorted, or malfunctioning brain, it doesn't, don't worry much about the body. Don't worry much about the body, because nothing can come out of a sick brain that it will behave right. So we need to go back to have a really clean, clear comprehension and understanding to the Tawheed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُذَّكِرِ. We made this message easy. Anyone can understand. You don't need a special qualification to understand it. So when we go back and see how the prophets and the messenger of Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless their souls, how, what they said about monotheism. They said it is, you have to have, if to believe in monotheism, a tawheed, there are three things, three major things that you have not only to understand, but you also have to accept by your feeling. Understanding one thing and accepting is another. I can understand, but that does not mean I accept. But in monotheism, you have to understand what you're doing and accept what you are doing. So you do whatever you do it because you want to do it. The first part of those three, it's called Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. First of all, maybe one day I said, one of the major key for us to understand Islam is to have a clear definition to the meaning of terminology. What is the meaning of the word Tawheed by its own self? Forget the religion, out of it. Tawheed, that means you are identifying something unique, one in a kind. That means there is no two. I can say one car, but that does not mean the parking lot does not have 1,000 car. I said one car. But Tawheed means there is only one car, and there is, in the face of the planet Earth, there is no other. That's what the Tawheed is. Recognizing and feeling existing of one of a kind. So when we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say Tawheed, that means we are recognizing and existing one in a kind. That's what the Tawheed is. So first part of the Tawheed is the Lordship, al-Rububiyyah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means we acknowledge and we feel, when you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. And a creator means what? The one who develops something from nothing. He get it from nothing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only the creator, but He is the owner. He is the controller. He is the provider, al-raziq. And He is the one who has the final word. There is no one have this capability other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give life and give death. That's what you need to know. Who is your creator? You're going to say Allah. Who is your provider? You're going to say Allah. Who is controller? Allah. Who gives you life? Allah. Who gives you death? Allah. Who control your destiny? Allah. But that part, the unfortunate part, is you know it by your fitrah. You know it by your nature. And you know it also by what you see around you. It never been cited in the history of a human being that he got a problem of identifying existing of a supreme power. Control the whole thing. You see people die in front of you and there is nothing you can do about it. You see a people with a life, birth, a life coming up, and there is nothing you can do about it. You see rain coming and it is not your manufacture. There is nothing you can do about the sun, the moon, and on and on and on. And unfortunately, a lot of people under the impression that they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only in that part. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said no. Your belief in that part or don't believe in it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. Did the shaitan admit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator? Yes, he did. Did that mean Allah accepted his behavior? No. Did all the tyrant, all the wrongdoers, you ask him, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you ask him who created heaven and earth, they will say Allah. So that part by its own self does not qualify you to anything. But that thing, if you believe in it, it generates or builds the foundation for the next stage. And that's where the problem is. The problem of your life and mine is in the second part, which is Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, the divinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Divinity, that means, basically, you are acknowledging that the only one who has the right to be obeyed unconditionally is Allah. The only one who has the right to accept and reject is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only one that has the right that you only submit to is Allah. Seek is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the problem. And unfortunately, most of the people from the first part, they recognize that the source of giving is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they build the relationship either not to be harm or to give, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, astaghfirullah al-azim, as if we are dealing with a grocery store. You go and buy and you take what you want and you leave what you don't want. But that's not why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created you, and these are pieces of the foundation that you need to understand when you deal with the divinity. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. That means Allah is in no need to any of His creatures or all of them. Take a time and think about this. There is nothing that you can do can benefit Him, and nothing you can do can harm Him. If you're going to do good and listen and obey, for your benefit. And if you don't, it is for you also. We know, as a human being, with the exception of obeying your parents, it is for the best interest of the powerful. The powerful. We are in a fight with each other day and night to dominate other and use them. It teaches the level of abusing them in a form, individual forms or group forms, like wars, slavery, taking advantage, name it. But usually when it comes down to the act of obedience, it is for my benefit. I want you to obey me for my benefit, not for your benefit, not for your interest. With the exception among the human being, your parents. They do things for your benefit, not for their own benefit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I have the right to be obeyed in my kingdom, to be obeyed where I created, and I have the right. Also, you are my creation. Let us look at it a different way. If I come to your home as a guest, I go by your rule or I go by my rule? First of all, I come when you tell me to come. Permission. You are expecting me at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever. You are not expecting an unannounced guest. And when I come to your home, I'm going to sit down where I want or where you want me to sit. I'm going to sit down where you want me to sit. If you're going to serve entertainment or refreshment or food or whatever, am I going to go to your fridge and say, give me this and give me this and give me this, or please let your daughter or your wife do this, or are you going to take what you've been given and say thank you? You like it or not, and you don't, it wouldn't make too much difference. You can eat it or you can leave it. And beyond the shadow of a doubt, you are leaving. Now, what makes me obey you when I'm in your home? Why? Are you more powerful than me? No. More smarter? Maybe yes, maybe no. Are you more whatever? No. But being in your ownership, in your home, which is you own, give you the right to put your own rule. That's where I'm going to have my guest. That's where I'm going to, my guest is going to sleep. And whomever coming into your door, it better go by your will, not his will. That basic fundamental concept that I am talking about here, that's the dilemma of the mankind and our dilemma up to now, up to this second. And this is why subhanahu wa ta'ala sended messengers and prophet to us to wake us up and say, wake up, I am the Lord, I am the owner, I have the right to be obeyed because I am the owner. This is my territory, not yours. You are in my universe, not yours. You yourself, my creation. When it comes down to in the relationship, it is between the one who has everything and the one who doesn't have anything. Don't forget that. And the shaitan make us forget. And when we forget, what happened? We start to worship ourselves. We start to obey ourselves. Instead of we go by what Allah wants, what we do? We go by what we want. Up to here, it is a disaster. But the disaster is bigger than that. We want Allah to go by what we want. So we don't want to go. If it comes down, if Allah, what Allah wants and what I want, they are okay, no problem. You want me to pray, I'll pray. You want me to fast, why not? Give a couple dollars here and there, I am rich enough. Makes me look good, whatever. But what happens when there is a contradiction between what you want and between what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants? Where do you stand? Where you stand? When there is a conflict between what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want and what you want, what happened? Either you accept and say, sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey. Or, wal'ayazu billah, you say, sami'na wa asayna, we hear and we do not obey. And once you say, we do not obey, you start to compromise, you start to cut corners, you start to redefine, and you forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling you to do what you wanted to do for your best interest, not His. You forget that completely. Thinking what you want is the best for you or the benefit for you, which is in reality it is not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send it to punish us or to harm us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the message to have a mercy on us, to prevent harm from happening to us. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the host, He wants you in His universe to be happy. He wants you to be happy. You are His guest. You like it or not, you are His guest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be happy. Not to damage yourself and not to damage others. By applying the rules and the etiquettes that He said it's going to benefit you and going to benefit others. Once you realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has those rights, and you realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unique in His sifat. So it is not only that you recognize His lordship or you recognize His divinity. Divinity, that means He has the right. And now this right generated from the first one. Okay. Please go to Google it or whatever, go to the internet and whatever. Go to any religion you want. There are four major ones being known to the human being, and under them, each one comes a whole bunch. Number one, the Buddhism, Judaism, and Christianity, and Islam. These are the four major roots. Four major roots. Under those, you can have, in Buddhism, for instance, you can have Zoroastrianism, Buddhist, Confucius, name it. Shintos, name it. Look at all of them. And you're going to hear and read philosophers and big thinkers, big preachers. But there is one issue, one question, you will never ever find one of them try to tackle. When you worship Buddha, who is your creator? Who is the creator in your religion?
No.
The Buddhist monk wouldn't dare to say it. Shinto monk wouldn't dare to say it. Zoroastrian would dare not to say. When it comes to the issue of creation, the essence of allship, the essence of lordship, no. Go to any church you like and tell him who you worship. The Messiah, either in a state of incarnation or recarnation, one of the two. Is the Messiah the creator? See what the answer going to be.
No.
But when it comes to Islam, the Quran, هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض. He is the only one who claim it, and no one to contest it. No one even to dare to question it. هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض. If He is the one who created heaven and earth, He is the one who has the right to be unconditionally obeyed and submitted to. God established. Allah established to you where He does not need to establish anything. He is logically establishing to you why you should submit to Him. Why you should obey Him. And the best is for you, not for Him. And from here it comes, it's supposed to be the backbone after the brain, which is the monotheism. It's supposed to be your backbone, like the human body, the backbone of that, two words. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That's it. Iyaka na'bud, to thee we submit. And Iyaka nasta'in, you are the only one we seek. Seek anything. And remember the message about building character with a certain attributes. So you need to understand in monotheism, number one, the lordship, second, the divinity, third, the character and the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you need to understand, like I said, as long as we are saying tawheed, one in a kind. One in a kind. When I say ar-Rahman, when I say the word ar-Rahman, that's an attribute, that's a character of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what it means, what the word ar-Rahman means. Number one, the one who knows your need and give it to you before you ask for it. Can you imagine for a second that Allah will give you the air when you ask for it? He already given it to you before you ask for it, to the point that you didn't even need, think that you need it. You breathe it. Can you imagine staying for 1 minute, 1 minute, without breathing? 1 minute. And you say, Ya Allah, give me breathe. So He's the one who gives you, who knows what you need, and give it to you before you ask for it. Number two, He is the one who is capable and able and doing it, prevent harm happening to you before it happens. Allah prevented the harm before it happened. This is why He is ar-Rahman. Prevent the harm before it happened. The third, He is the one, when you come back to Him, He will forgive you. And He will pardon you. And that is act of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know on those only three elements that I've said, any creature, any being that you know of has those attributes? None. Unique. So, what is the essence, the true essence of a tawheed? Without going through a whole lot of things, and without even, you're going to say, somebody going to come and say, listen, you are expecting a lot of people live and die, they don't know even know how to read and write, and you are talking about monotheism, and you are talking about divinity and your lordship and whatever that is. Can we make it easy? Can we make it simple? Can we make it like the mother milk? Can we make it? Yes, because it is. B, you have the key for the monotheism. The key is not knowledge. The key for monotheism is what you know and what you feel. They have to work with each other. It doesn't make any much difference how much you know. It is what you know. Do you feel by what you know or you don't? That's what make it or break it. And I give you before example of Sahaba. What make it or break it, you feel by what you do. And you feel by what you know. You have to feel, in monotheism, you have to feel you are a guest. Behave like one. We all behaving as if we've been signed contracts to live, contracts to be healthy, contracts to do this, contracts to have this, contracts to... Where is this contract? you are a guest, start to feel it and behave like one. Be aware of, you own nothing. So don't bother about what you think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment, after all dead, what he gonna say? لمن الملك اليوم? Who is the owner today? No one will answer. He gonna say, لله الواحد القهار, for the Almighty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in the Quran, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلْنَاكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ. Spend from what we authorized you to use. So you are authorized to use, you are not the owner. Behave like one. You're going to have to stop behaving like owners, because we are not owners. You cannot say even you are the owner of your own body, because you have no control over it. Did you set your heart today? You set it? You have control over it? When Allah said to that heart, stop or start, anyone can defeat or change or compromise or ask for extension to that command? No. Be aware of this fact. You are a guest and you are not owner, and you are dealing with. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Be aware you are dealing with the one. All he need to have anything done, say be it. For you to do anything, you have to take the reasons. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say be it. That is the ultimate control. That is the ultimate control. You are not dealing with the weak. You are not weak with the shallow. You are not dealing with whatever, like in a certain doctrine, in the definition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, astaghfirullah al-azim, but you are dealing with, innama amruhu iza arada shay'an, yaqulu innama arada shay'an, an yaqula lahu kun fayakun. Be it, it's done. And be also aware, and don't forget that you are dealing with the one who will never accept wrongdoing. He will never accept it. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعْبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. Allah is patient. Allah is forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala patient and forgiving. Not only patient and not only forgiving, but he is patient and forgiving. You know why? Do you know why? Because when he takes, يَأْخُذُ أَخْذَ عَزِيزٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. Because when he takes, he takes all. He will give you all the ropes. He will give you all the chances. He will give you all the excuses. He will give you a new every single second. He will give you a new beginning. And there is a hadith, I'm going to make it very short because I know the time is running. The bottom line of that hadith is what? It is hadith al-Qudsi. If you come to me with the fill of the earth, sin, and you have only Tawheed in your heart, I will forgive you. There is no sin bigger than for to be forgiven, except the shirk, the deliberate shirk. So, because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take, He does not return back. And He doesn't give it back. When Allah take your soul in the form of death, He doesn't give it back to you. of this life. That's it. So the concept of forgiveness, use it. The concept of patience, use it. Don't abuse it. Don't neglect it because you are the first victim to it. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the peace and the tranquility and the wisdom to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply them in our life. So we can live in peace and die in peace, and inshallah in the hereafter we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. What is the benefit of monotheism? التوحيد. Now we all agree there is nothing that you have, nothing that you can do benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or can harm him. First and foremost, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهِ. اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, who has a genuine Tawheed in his heart, Yahdi qalba. Allah pour peace and tranquility in that heart. And please, I don't want to make it longer, but I want to get to this point. Go back to the Quran and see the behavior of the messengers. They are not there for storytellers. They are not there for a story or to record the history. No, they are not. Look at what Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam went through. What kind of a challenges that he had. He had ultimate challenge to give himself, to give his son, to give everything. And what is the bottom line? وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, not aslim, recognize, but submit. That means, Ya Ibrahim, there is no more will to you. He said, aslamtu li rabbil alameen. That means, Ya Allah, I have no more will. I am giving my will to your will. That's it. Look at Sayyidina Yusuf. Sayyidina Yusuf, the one who been taken away, been having all kind of unfair treatment, or it seems unfair treatment. The minute he started to show up, here you go, all kind of corruption around him, and all kind of temptation around him, and all kind of abuse, and everybody knows that he is innocent. What he ended up with? In jail. Very fair community, very fair society. For a young man, that can make anybody go what? Crazy. Listen to him, what when it comes down to Tawheed, what he is saying, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahsana maswai. All praise and all glory be to the Lord, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we're supposed to. The second and the last one I'm going to talk about, and very quickly, the fulfillment of the purpose of life. I said earlier, the purpose of the message of Islam to create a character, be able to invest the gift of life to qualify to Allah's mercy. What is the whole qualification? What is the whole thing? It comes in Surah Al-Bayyinah. The bottom line, fulfilling the purpose of your life is what? Radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. Anyone sitting here want anything other than that? I don't think so. Do you want, how it feels if you feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with you? The biggest problem of your life, if you are living the life, living every second and you don't know how Allah see you, how Allah feel about you. Allah like you or hate you. Allah accept you or reject you. That's the biggest ever problem that you can have. And the concept of monotheism is the road to accomplish these two goals. Allahumma ja'alna min al-muhaydeen ya rabbal alameen. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our shortcomings and all our wrongdoing, and give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and follow his footsteps in this life so we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and inshallah in the hereafter we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Ibadallah, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihun. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.